welcome to the Untapped Philanthropy Podcast. I'm your host and Flux co-founder, Corinne Mitchell. I've spent my career exploring technology's role in amplifying impact within our social sector, and more specifically, helping funders to learn to leverage technology and data to connect and better serve our collective causes, constituents, and communities. In this podcast series, my team and I will profile social sector leaders, public figures, philanthropists, and industry futurists to explore this fascinating intersection of funding, technology, and policy. We're here to analyze the most critical and formative topics and trends that shape philanthropy both today and tomorrow. We hope this series leaves you inspired to think and act through a more collective and visionary lens. This week, I'm thrilled to welcome Kari Onnestad. She is the Minnesota Council of Nonprofits Associate Director. She's also the co-director of GrantAdvisor.org and the organizer of this incredibly important campaign, Fix the Form. Kari, hi.
Hi, Corinne.
Hello, hello. You and I go way back at this point, but you may be a new voice to some listeners, so I thought I'd let you kind of have the floor, maybe introduce yourself and your journey.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me on this podcast and getting to talk about my, I call it my professional baby, Fix the Form. It's very near and dear to my heart, and so I'm grateful for the chance to chat about it. So yeah, as you said, my full-time day job is associate director at the Minnesota Council of Nonprofits. So that's, we're a nonprofit state association and providing tools, resources, information, research, and advocacy to support nonprofits in achieving their charitable missions. And one of the key resources that MCN has become a home for is Grant Advisor. So Grant Advisor, for those of you who haven't heard of that yet, is a free anonymous review site of grant-making foundations. Grant Advisor was launched in partnership with two other nonprofits based in California about 5 years ago. And over the course of 5 years, the website has generated 3,000 anonymous reviews about 850 foundations based in the United States. So I'm co-director of Grant Advisor, and it was really from those kind of 3,000 reviews that the idea of Fix the Form was born.
So the Fix the Form movement is calling upon foundations to make changes to their entire grant-making process to make it easier, more accessible. Do you mind giving us a little bit of the elevator pitch as to what that really entails?
Absolutely. So the spirit of Fix the Form was really an international movement driven by those who have grant-seeking experience and really using that experience to identify top opportunities to simplify and streamline grant applications and reports. So as much as I want to claim that this idea was mine to launch an international movement, it was not mine at all. It really came, the genesis for it was we read through nearly 3,000 reviews that had been written on Grant Advisor and started to see themes emerge, really that the top opportunity that grant seekers were identifying as an opportunity for improvement in the field wasn't these broad sweeping, like high level, we need to fix racism, right? That's absolutely something we should fix. But the call from the field was really like applied and direct and kind of scrappy and practical. So thus was born Fix the Form. I got together with another brilliant fundraiser and grant maker who's based in London. Her name is Laura Solomons. And she and I together took kind of 16 of the top pain points that had been identified through Grant Advisor reviews. We pulled together literally a Google form and then sent a survey out to the field in December of 2020.
And when you say the field, what does that entail? I mean, how big was that? Was that push of information and request for feedback?
Yeah, so we distributed it among Grant Advisor's channel. So Grant Advisor has about 10,000 subscribers across kind of our newsletter and all social platforms. Laura and I also just put it out to our networks. We were really active on Twitter and kind of our LinkedIn, all the places that we could think. So it was very, very on the ground, not developed by a professional marketing team or anything. We were just kind of, we'll put the call out to our circles and see where it goes. And we were shocked to see that it got traction. Within 4 weeks, the survey had gathered 500 responses from people who were based in 9 different countries.
It's incredible. And it's interesting because when we talk about it, you know, it's calling people in to give feedback on things that are truly just redundant things that they have to do over and over, and asking them to say what would be an improvement that would help you all, you know, use resources correctly and use, you know, the core superpowers, if you will, of the nonprofits in the right way, not administratively. So from that, it's asking for a seemingly small adjustment, but, you know, clearly establishing an opportunity for people to be able to take a look at things that may need to be addressed to create less of a drain on nonprofits that often have, you know, limited staff time, limited budgets. So we've seen this kind of groundswell of movement from not just the feedback you receive, but also the interest in it. What are some of those most, you know, interesting and surprising results you found to date?
Yeah, the first surprising result that we saw that came through that survey was that 20 to 30%, as you were just saying, Corinne, 20 to 30% of nonprofits' full time was being invested in filling out these forms. So not even writing a grant application, of course, developing original content should take time and thought and energy, but it was 20 to 30% of a grant writer's full time just navigating online forms. And we thought, that's an incredible inefficiency for the field. Think of all of the mission advancing hours that could be reclaimed if only we could eliminate word and character limits, or at least find ways of right-sizing output fields so that grant writers wouldn't be having to force to copy and paste and edit back and copy and paste and say impact instead of outcome. And so that was one of the top surprising, was just how much the volume of time that was being essentially wasted in navigating technology that could kind of easily be improved if only that user experience could be elevated to a point that was brought into consideration when making kind of platform changes. The second kind of surprising finding was how seemingly simple and applied the fixes were. So when we got the results back, the top three that rose to the top were being able to see the full application ahead of time, that the time spent applying was not aligned with the dollars that were awarded. So that's around kind of process efficiency. And then the third was forms that you're able to save and return to. The things that were surprising about that, just that those were the top three, but from the moment the first person filled out our survey to the 500th, those were the top three. There was this strong consensus among nonprofit organizations who were filling out the survey that, like, these are the opportunities of the field for fixing the form. And they were also rated the most painful. So our survey asked folks not only to identify, like, what are your top pain points, but then on a Likert scale, how painful are they to you? And so those three also received the highest kind of pain ratings.
Got it. And from that information, obviously, there are changes that were called into action that were spread not just to the funders, but to the grant manager or grant management software. And in that, I guess, what are some of the changes you've seen that have tactically or strategically come of that information now being brought to people's awareness, let alone where do you want it to go? Maybe it's a two-part question for me. What changes have occurred and where would you want to see that continue?
So the survey kind of was closed in early 2021, and we sat with it a couple of months and then thought through what can we do with this information. It was at that moment that we got connected with the Technology Association of Grantmakers, and together in partnership, kind of Grant Advisor and TAG said, we should do a campaign to mobilize change that's in response to this feedback that we're getting. So thus was born a time-limited campaign called 100 Forms in 100 Days, where TAG and Grant Advisor recruited. The goal was to get 100 foundations to make changes to address that number one pain point, which is being able to see the full grant application ahead of time. So we did heavy recruiting over the summer of 2021, and we were thrilled that within our 100 days, we had successfully recruited not only 130 foundations who kind of took the pledge and made the change, but we also got to work with 5 grants management systems. So Flux was one of them. Thank you, Flux. And then 4 others that made kind of permanent changes to their tech platforms to kind of technologically allow for foundations to use that platform in a way that made the full application available to grant seekers ahead of time. So that the 130 number is great. We absolutely need to be able to see that kind of ownership of foundations and making those applied changes. But that secondary level of going to the actual tech platforms who aggregate among just those 5 had 3,000 foundation clients who have 1 million nonprofits apply to them every year.
That's incredible. And what does it really mean for them as grantees? Are they seeing that those changes, those are all set and moving forward? I mean, what has that sort of response been, if you will, from the efforts that your team put forward?
Yeah, so Laura and I actually had that question. And so we set out a second survey to the field back in December of 2021 and asked kind of, what changes have you seen, if any, and where should we go next? And I'll say that the results have been mixed. So about half of the respondents to that survey, we had about 250 people respond to that one from 5 different countries. And half of those respondents said they have seen funders make changes to grant applications over the last 2 years. And specifically, making the full form available in advance was the most cited change. With that, so there was part celebration among half of the folks saying, yes, we have seen these changes come to fruition. This saves us potentially collectively hours, millions of hours a year, if you think about the number of applications that one nonprofit organization may be submitting in a given year, and then multiply that toward by the entire nonprofit sector in the United States and beyond. But there was a fear also of like, but is this a lasting change? Was this just a part of like the disruption moment of the pandemic? Are people going to return to normal? So there's some lingering uncertainty. There's celebration of the changes that have been made. There's a lingering uncertainty around how lasting those changes are going to be. And then looking forward, there's a really clear call to say there's more work to be done. About a third of respondents say, you know, we haven't seen any movement from a handful of foundations, and that's really frustrating.
Wow. Yeah.
And they're not listening. And so how can we really work together to make changes that we know will have a positive impact, a net impact for the whole field?
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I look at that for you, you know, since this is your like third job of something you guys do, obviously the biggest passion project and one of the most important things that hook really well into things like, you know, the general philanthropic data commons and other aspects where we're starting to see, again, groundswells of interest into easing, you know, accessibility and administrative work. But what's interesting is partnerships, you know, play the biggest role for you to be able to get this out there. And that includes, of course, TAG, funders, nonprofits, and obviously grants management systems and technologists. So I guess my question is, in light of the second round of responses that you're currently aggregating, you know, what is the ask that would kind of come forward to say, you know, how can we further drive these results? Is it to, you know, keep kind of banging the drum to the funders and making sure we get it more broadly out there? I mean, what would you like to see done so that we can help keep that momentum? Because it is so, so critical for the industry.
Well, I think grants management systems they're a crucial piece of this whole puzzle for change, right? So you think about how often foundation clients will really look to GMS providers to guide what successful implementation of their platforms looks
absolutely
like. Right, like looking to you to say, what are the best practices? What are the templates? How can mm-hmm. we, as your customer, really maximize the use of the product that we're purchasing or subscribing to? And I was first struck by this when I was kind of getting into like from Fix the Form survey results to how do we push for change, having conversations and looking at how grants management systems were staffed, like the number of kind of customer success staff members, like basically. You can learn a lot about an organization about like the roles that they employ. And I was surprised to see how many customer success staff members were on these teams dedicated to working with clients around product implementation. And so there's this opportunity to continue to push back on kind of the idea of who is the primary user of these platforms. I think often we maybe have only thought primarily of foundations as a primary user because they're the customer, they're the one paying. But it's this unique world where when it's a platform to collect grant applications and reports, that there's this other side of a nonprofit experience as well.
So there are partnerships out there where a common goal of this sort of consolidated administration of grants is sort of top of mind. And that can include, of course, philanthropic data commons, common data model. Fix the Form is one of the things that's much more geared around the grant application itself, but of course exists very much in the same realm as things like organizing organization information or people, even just the work Candid's doing. Tell me about how you envision this Fix the Form playing into those and where maybe early partnerships are starting to form around that idea that, you know, we're all trying to move this forward together.
Yeah, and it's really exciting to see some of the advances that are being made in this space. I would say that Fix the Form is distinct in that it is so applied and so on the ground and so in the weeds that it can support and contribute to some of the bigger picture initiatives, like you named the data commons, philanthropic data commons. But ultimately, it's like we want to see a save button at the end, right? So it's like super, super, super in the weeds. I think where it kind of can connect to this idea of like the common application is that second top-sided pain point is that the time spent to apply kind of doesn't match the amount of funding that was provided, that there is this recognition that the way in which grant applications are currently designed or the whole process for requesting and receiving and reporting on grant funds is duplicative, right? Like you are providing to some extent the same information in slightly different formats to dozens of foundations every year. And so the opportunity to kind of consolidate and streamline that in some way is another promise of the field to, well, fix the form. The endeavor to create a common application ultimately also gets to content, like what are the questions to be asked? So it's not just about what is everybody already asking for and can we all agree to just do it one way and then have efficiency with that? That's great. I think that's an important first step. And we need to ask the question of just because everyone else is doing it, is it the right thing to do, right? Are these the right questions that should be asked? And in that way, Fix the Form is really content neutral. We don't go into the territory of you should ask what problem we're solving using these words in this way. It really is more about like the technical design of the forms themselves. But I guess so this is less like about partnership and it's more my request to the field of whoever's looking at common applications.
That is very fair. And well-timed. I think there's a lot of people right now. So the common application or philanthropic data commons is actually in a position right now where they're doing some early beta work. So obviously the work that's going on with Fix the Form is incredibly important to that. And to your point, frames the way that, you know, we don't want to make the same mistakes twice too. So to the degree that there are common fields that they're looking at, which is really more of the focus there, how it gets done and how it's perhaps from a compliance perspective managed. So, you know, if it is one field, they're not having one person with 200 characters, one with 500 and one unlimited. Like, how do we start to build that next level of consistency, I think is really important. So, and there's so much of that too. When we think through the call from the industry to grants management softwares, you know, we have heard more and more, and as we should, by the way, heard more and more pressure to say, how do we make that grantee experience something that really does transcend, you know, the current structure and the current way we do it. And that can include, you know, everything from, again, just a nicer, cleaner user interface to mobility, to accessibility, to all the things that account for the fact that the actual end users and the benefits are going down into that constituent group of those change makers and nonprofits. And so how do we get their voice more to be a part of it? And at Flux, I can tell you, you know, we look at product management and product development from the lens of making sure that obviously all the stakeholders are present and the grant seekers, as they should be, are a part of that review process. So as we start to innovate our roadmap, and I would obviously implore the other grants management softwares to do the same, it's getting grant seekers to give feedback on what they want and not just innovating it, again, from the lens of the funders, which is one of many, you know, to your point. But there's more people at the table here that it impacts. So it's kind of an exciting opportunity, again, to say, how do we call grant management software into the next realm? And I think to some degree, that will pick up, to your point, the groundswell that will bring other funders along. So I guess my question to you is, for those people that are starting to see this groundswell, that are getting excited about getting started but don't know where to start, you know, what are the next steps for those folks that want to kind of get going on the project here?
Yeah, I would say that there's at least two things that foundations who are interested in kind of adopting some of these practice recommendations where they could get started. Number one, all of the results of the Fix the Form survey are available at grantadvisor.org. We have a tab called #FixTheForm. And on that page, you'll be able to see all 16 of the pain points. We also have sort of a checklist that funders can use when evaluating their own form that kind of blends the pain points with recommendations. So kind of reframing it from don't do this to maybe proactively consider doing this as a change. The other thing that I would kind of lift up is use Grant Advisor as a tool for getting community feedback. It's completely free. We have 120,000 foundations in our database. So you're probably already in our database and you just don't know it. And everyone has a customized survey link and profile based on your EIN. So this has been a really powerful way that we've seen a number of kind of early adopters use a free and public tool to get specific information on their applications. A lot of not just applications, but grant making process in general. A lot of foundations, I think, have moved in the direction of creating customized surveys or perhaps purchasing surveys, which is all great. I think feedback, any opportunity to kind of intentionally seek out and make changes based upon a nonprofit's experience is all good. I would say the unique value proposition that Grant Advisor provides is that we make it all public. So it's not just a feedback mechanism for foundations. It's also actually a really helpful prospect tool for other nonprofits. So you can get a sense to see what's it actually like to work with that foundation and will it be worth my time to apply.
In that, I know we are wrapping up the podcast. I did want to run through a series of small, short questions that we call rapid fire. And I encourage you to respond with the very first thing that comes to your mind. Are you ready?
Oh, gosh.
It's thrilling. I'm ready. It's thrilling. Okay, here we go. Name one of the most influential people of today or of history to you as a person.
Brandi Carlile. Hands down. No competition. Girl. Yeah. I've been following her and like in love with her and obsessed with her musical career for the past decade. And of course her career is 2 decades long. So I feel like I'm late to the game, but she's a philanthropist. She has a Looking Out Foundation. She and her band kind of established that, which is great. And that absolutely inspires me. But I think the other thing that I so appreciate about her is the way that she seeks to bring out the best in other people, right? Like she loves musical collaborations. She's bringing Tanya Tucker out of retirement. She helped Joni Mitchell get back on the stage after, you know, a major health event and hadn't done any. So her energy, her charisma, the way that she collaborates with other people is just absolutely inspiring and contagious.
And y'all, fun fact on Kari that I will share, she's an incredible musician. So there you go. So yeah. That I should have led with as your fourth other, you know, thing that you do.
Not on the caliber of Brandi Carlile, I will say. That's
goals, all right, next goals. Question is, what are you most proud of accomplishing in your career?
Oh, well, so I'm 36. I feel like I hope I still have like room to have a big accomplishment. But in what I've done so far, I will say Fix the Form feels huge. It feels like a really great demonstration of not just voice of customer, but seeking, I guess my leadership philosophy is a belief that those who are closest to the work and most impacted by kind of the systems that have power have the best ideas for solutions and these like innovative things that you'd never really necessarily have unless you had that lived experience and perspective. So my goal as a leader is to kind of collect and facilitate change through that's driven by that perspective and those groups. And so Fix the Form feels like a meaningful demonstration of that. And I hope one initiative of others to come.
Love it. And lastly, do you have any fun plans this summer?
Well, I have a 7-month-old baby at home. And so keeping him and his 6-year-old sister alive feels it's not fun. Yeah. It's a little bar.
So that's fun. I agree. That's a lot. Very cool. Very fulfilling, I would say, and exciting, I'm sure. So that's
exciting. Yes, it keeps me humble. It keeps me focused on the small things. Oh, and so I'm sure coloring and water fights with hoses and all the sorts of fun you have with the kid.
Oh, that's awesome. Kari, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing more about yourself and your work. Our listeners can learn more about Fix the Form Project at grantadvisor.org. You can listen and download our episodes at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and of course, directly from our website at flux.io. That's FLUXX.io.